Monster Man, episode 195, Eagle to Eel, comma, Electric, parentheses, Marine, close parentheses. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are beginning the long-awaited journey through the E chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. If I've received a bunch of listener mail about the last few episodes, I have not had time to read it yet, because I am recording this episode well in advance. First weekend in August, I am off to Newark for the annual Bring Out Your Lead, the gathering of the old Hammer community. If you are among that community, I look forward to seeing you there. But basically, it's 2 weeks ago, from your perspective, that I'm recording this. Well, like a week and a half. Either way, we got some mixed monsters here, so let's take a look at them. First up, we have the eagle. Nothing wrong with an eagle. Eagles are good. When you have an animal monster in Dungeons & Dragons, you need to balance familiarity with variety, right? And eagles are okay in this respect. I think everyone has an image of an eagle. Everyone is like, ah, yes, the eagle, that noble bird. But also, we've seen enough close-up pictures of them, because humans like eagles, not close to us, but we like to look at pictures of them, to think about, oh, that beak is sharp, those claws look very sharp, it's actually quite big. Despite their symbols of, like, imperial dignity and majesty, eagles are pretty nasty, and Old Norse culture was very clear that eagles were birds of ill omen. They were listed along with ravens as the beasts of battle, and wolves, the idea being that after a battle, wolves, ravens, and eagles would come to scavenge the corpses. So, eagles are also trained for hunting in some parts of the world, and we've all seen sort of in Central Asia. I think that's particularly common, where you get people who go hawking, effectively, with eagles. It's kind of a traditional sport, even in the modern day. So, there's a lot to recommend the eagle. You could definitely have a character, either a protagonist or an enemy, who had an eagle that he sort of sent out to, you know, claw people in the eyes, or just hunt game, or whatever. If he had some kind of bond with it, it could be like a scout for him. Especially if you're in a landscape where there aren't eagles, that would be, you know, an ominous sight. You could tie it, it would be an appropriate sort of creature for a death-themed baddie, a bit like a vulture in that respect. Or it could just be something that you have to deal with as you're climbing up a mountain. You know, you just got too close to the eagle's nest and you need to get past this thing without attracting the attention of the goblins whose lair you're trying to get to higher ground on. So yeah, eagles, not too bad. Like a lot of animal monsters, I don't know that this one's necessarily front page material, but it's useful to have the stats for. Next up, we have the Eblis, or Stork Man. What is with Monster Manual 2 and wading birds? There are a lot of wading birds in this, but I think this is like the fourth, right? Because we had the Crane, comma, Giant, we had the Boobry, we had the Dyak, which is not described as a wading bird, but looks an awful lot like one, and now we've got this one. We're only on E. We're running an average of one wading bird monster every 1.25 letters. What is going on here? I mean, I'm not complaining. I like wading birds. I think I said back when we were doing the Crane, comma, Giant that I used to come home. I used to live right near the river here in Cambridge. I mean, you always live near the river when you're in Cambridge, but I used to live next to a meadow that, like, backed right onto the river, and I would come home over this bridge, and at night, sometimes you would see, I don't know, cranes or herons or something. I don't really know that much about birds. And there's a certain way that they stand, you know, almost motionless, with the moon reflecting off the water all around them. That is quite, I mean, it's beautiful, but also quite eerie. And I think that gives wading bird monsters, and again, what a weird category, a certain dignity. Which is definitely counteracted by the fact that the Eblis are a bunch of swamp weirdos who live in dirty huts and collect shiny things. There are descriptions of, like, the pecking attacks of their long, snaky necks, which makes me think that maybe, like, Gary Gygax had an alarming encounter with a goose or something. Because, so, as I have had reason to mention in the past, I have a dog, and my dog is very friendly, and she doesn't quite understand that, like, not all animals are equally friendly, so she got confronted by a swan not that long ago. She went over and was just like, oh, a swan, you know, a bird, I wonder if it'll be my friend, and the swan did not want to be her friend, and as it kind of raised up its neck to strike, I was like, if anything happens, that swan is just gonna, like, make a noise at her, and she's gonna run away, but It looks quite menacing. I mean, I brought her back. I'm not taking risks with either my dog or a swan. Please don't think I'm an irresponsible pet owner. But you definitely wouldn't like to be being pecked at with the beak of the Eblis. It's so odd, though. And, you know, again, a bit like the things I mentioned previously, the wading quietly through misty marshes gives the Eblis a certain weird appeal. The problem is that if I need a bunch of hut-dwelling primitive swamp people, it's gonna be bullywugs. I love bullywugs, as we have established. So maybe the bullywugs and the Eblis are feuding, or maybe the Eblis is like the weird guide who'll lead you to where the bullywugs are. You can sort of see that, right? They're swamp folk. I think there's always room for more swamp folk in a D&D game. And wading bird people is a cool way of looking at it. A bit like ducks and Glorantha in that respect, right? Where the ducks, one of the things about them is they're swamp folk. They live on the edge of this big marsh full of zombies. And they're the only people who can navigate it safely because they're, you know, riverine. Still is weird that there's so many wading bird monsters in this thing, though. And not in any previous ones. Finally, we have the eel, comma, electric, parentheses, marine, close parentheses. So, we already had an eel, comma, electric, I think back in Monster Manual 1, and it's great. Electric eels are terrific. Electric eels are the kind of thing that you would find in, like, a kid's adventure story, you know, about, like, a rafting disaster or something like that. The kind of blandly wholesome adventure fiction that they make you read when you're younger. Oh, I never get excited about that man versus nature stuff. I don't know why. I mean, not that I've never enjoyed it. I mean, there are, of course, exceptional examples, but in general, it doesn't. I'd rather have a monster or a villain, you know? Those are both interesting things. Anyway, the eel, comma, electric, parentheses, marine, is giant, which is fine, again, but it does a grip of damage with its electricity, and giant eels are cool. But a giant electric eel feels a little bit like gilding the lily. The thing about electric eels is that they're small, and you worry about them. Like, what if one were to brush past you and zap your leg? Well, you're not gonna not see this brute coming. This bad boy is up to 40 feet long, so. I mean, and, you know, again, that's okay. Like, it's certainly the kind of thing that, you know, a bunch of resourceful Sohagen or whatever have penned up in their undersea lair, and there's a group of special handlers who have, you know, coral prods that they prod it with, and insulated suits. Heaven knows where they got them. I don't think rubber trees grow underwater, but you know what I mean. Something like that. That, you know, then they kind of, like, turn it on people that they don't like. It's certainly, again, the makers of D&D seem to think that there are going to be more undersea adventures than I would normally predict, but nothing wrong with a good additional undersea monster. And this is one kind of natural hazard undersea monster that's maybe more suitable for challenging a more experienced party in a way that some of the various fish in the earlier books are not. So the eel, comma, electric, parentheses, marine, close parentheses, is a bit like the eagle in that respect, in that it's not going to be a headline monster, but that's okay. It adds to your repertoire of aquatic monsters, and that's no bad thing. All right, that looks like about all the time that we have for today. In our next episode, we're going to get back to among the most popular, of e-monsters. Of course, I'm talking about elves. Did you think there were enough kinds of elf? Well, you were wrong. And you'll find out more about some of the other ones next time on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.